She smells like cotton candy and looks like a million bucks. But Wisconsin Queen Dominique DeGrant's time was too short on the debut season of Camp Wanakiki, the new web series where eight wild gals battle it out in the middle of the woods for the title Queen at Camp, at an actual summer camp.
Today, the lovely and delicious Dominique DeGrant, also known as the Pinkening, because she's what? Sickening, and she's always in pink, joins us to talk about how she balances her silly campy side of drag with her more sophisticated pageant side.
Plus, how I fall asleep in drag and wake up looking gorgeous. I'm Fausto Fernos.
I'm Mark Fillion.
And this is Feast of Fun.
Feast of Fun is made possible because of fabulous people just like you. Thank you. Unlock a delicious world of podcasting magic and listen to thousands of amazing shows at feastoffun.com/plus.
Hi, Dominique.
Hello, how are you?
Dominique, Nika, Nika. How does that song go, Mark?
That's it. Just over and over again.
For the French.
Yeah, I don't know the words, but I know the tune.
On today's Feast of Fun, we have our Wanakiki sister, Dominique DeGrant. Hashtag the Pinkening. And I am dressed up as a bear. But if you're listening to the podcast, you can't see it. But if you're watching it on YouTube, then you can see all the luscious gorgeousness that we have. Okay. And my husband's Martin.
I'm not on film, but I can come over and say hi.
Why don't you get up and show a little bit? Just, you know,
after we get everything set already.
Unplug yourself before you, oh, thank God.
Hi, everyone. You look fabulous. The Pinkening and the Baroning.
The Barony, honey.
The Barony. Oh, my God.
The Barony.
All I can say is that baritone.
Dominique DeGrant was eliminated a little too soon on the debut season of Camp Wanakiki, the search for the ultimate campy queen.
Well, it is kind of a consensus between some people, but, you know.
What, between me and the judges? No, just kidding. No, who thinks that you should have gone home? I mean, there is a lot of outpouring of support on social media for you.
Honestly, I think it was more so the fact that the editing really helped, because I feel like I kind of took a chance, and instead of, you know, just doing the challenge, I decided to go with my character, and I tried to be funny about it, and, you know, my character's kind of this prissy little princess.
Oh, and
so you're
the bad seed.
Bad seed.
The bad seed from the film with the little girl, the blonde girl who murders people, and you know about that movie. You're kind of familiar with it? You've never heard it? I thought that's what you were channeling.
And I'm
well, no, now, like, I'm safe, you know.
No, but basically, I feel like it was just kind of more of a, it was kind of hard to see what I was doing, maybe from their perspective, but I felt that it really came over very well in the actual filming. And that's why we are getting the, I think that's why we're getting the response that we're getting.
Because I got to tell you, I got to that camp
Kupuganga. I can't remember.
In the middle of nowhere, and there was nobody to be seen. And I said, oh, Freddy Krueger is going to come and murder me. You know?
Oh my gosh, it was so much fun.
And the camp is kind of ratchet. It's a bare bones, simple summer camp. Well, in the middle of nowhere, there is hardly any amenities.
I wouldn't say that it's ratchet. That would mean that it was kind of like run down. It was very clean. The cabins.
It was humble.
It was simple. It was what it was. But I mean, it was.
Honey,
I don't know if Fausto's been to American camps before. Maybe
I was going to say, this
I think
is,
he's
this
used to like
bad.
5-star resorts and stuff like that, because I keep saying he's like, oh, yeah, no, it
doesn't
look like
no
that.
They had no amenities.
Like, it looks. Well,
we had individual showers.
Where's the mini freezer?
Did you have a shower?
Yes.
Did you have a toilet?
Had individual showers.
Was it a flush toilet?
Yes.
Then you were glamping, honey. If you didn't have to cart your poop out in a doggy poop bag, that happens. Yeah.
Does a bear shit in the woods?
Leave nothing behind.
Honey, I did not shit in the woods. I shit in the toilet.
Thank God.
But so, yeah, so I got there, you know, and it's a humble, you know, there was no jacuzzi, there was no mini fridge stocked with amenities and M&Ms,
oh,
my favorite peanut M&Ms.
Oh, no.
And then I was like, am I at the right place? Am I, like, invading somebody's space? And so I went into the camp.
I found your stuff. Okay.
So that's how I first met you, was like, oh, this queen has everything.
Wait, so you rummaged through her things?
Apparently, you took a tour on your end.
I'm a bear. I'm going to go through shit.
Did you smell her panties? Were your panties sniffing?
They smell. I got to tell you guys, Dominique DeGrant smells like gumdrops and grape soda.
And cotton candy.
And cotton scent. But you're wearing
it's just my natural womanly scent.
Mm.
But you actually dose yourself with a cotton candy, like body spray. It's like Axe body spray, but for drag queens. Is that what it is? Or a six-year-old, like girls in sixth grade?
Basically. No, actually, I've been told I'm very self-conscious mm-hmm. about how I present myself to people.
Sure.
So I don't want to smell. I've been around some very, I don't want to be mean, but I've been around some very smelly queens.
You're an experienced drag queen, and so talk about how smelly drag queens can be.
Well, I mean, it happens. I mean, yeah. You have to understand we're going to be in pads. We're not exactly dressed for the weather usually, so people sweat, and you know
we don't see dentists.
Well,
we got cock breath.
Oh gosh. No, but I mean, I just get self-conscious, so every 3 seconds I'm like dousing myself with a stupid spray.
We did a whole podcast with Peaches Christ on smelly drag queens.
Love it.
You know, how not to smell.
But no, what I've been told, though, is that the particular scent that I use, a lot of strippers use it.
Oh, really?
So, I don't know. It's
like
funny.
Like, female or male strippers?
Female strippers.
Because I was like, I don't see, like, a body full of
Have you ever been out? Like, I remember I was out once. I think I was waiting on a table once, and it was these girls, and I had some glitter on me, because, you know, my husband's a drag queen. She's like, oh, but you out seeing strippers? Every time my boyfriend comes home, he has glitter on. I know he's been out seeing strippers. I'm just like, yeah,
oh my God.
I was seeing strippers, lady.
Wow. I've only been to one strip club, and I was actually in drag at the time, too.
Did you take it all off?
No. It was really... No, I mean, in the area that I am, it's very... It's kind of in the middle of nowhere. It's Eau Claire, Wisconsin. It's
sure.
a beautiful little city, but the joke amongst the campers is that I'm from the greater tundra.
Mm.
I mean, it is kind of in the middle of nowhere, but entertainment-wise, there's not a whole lot going on in the area, so, like, the strippers, the queens, we kind of know each other,
mm-hmm.
And this was a couple years ago. We ended up just going down to the club, and it was before we went out for a Saturday night, and super, super dead. There was nothing going on. Actually, mm-hmm. I think it was in the middle of the week, so we all sat down by the stage, and the girls were dancing, and there were maybe like three creepers in the back of the bar or something, and we kept talking to them about their shoes while they were on stage and they were dancing. It's like, oh girl, I love your hair, and it was really fun.
You smell nice.
Pretty much.
So let's
having
talk about,
a conversation
let's
while
talk about,
legs
so
are
you're
like
from
this.
You're from Eau Claire, Wisconsin.
Yeah.
Middle of nowhere.
What's the population of that? It's like, because it's a city, right?
It's a legitimate city.
And you have a gay bar there. Even.
Yes, we do have a gay bar. I usually describe it to people. I forget what the actual population is, but I usually describe it to people because there's also a big college there. It's kind of a mix between a college town and a retirement city.
Okay.
You have the really young kids and they stay in one area of the town, and then the rest of it's just kind of
older people.
So where's the drag queen? Elderly are driving and they're running over the young people and staying alive from their organs that they donate.
Pretty much. No, Eau Claire is actually known for its vocal studies, something mm-hmm. in the vocal arts there. But
and so is that what you studied? Is singing or dancing?
I haven't gone to college for it, but I pretty much my mom posts this every once in a while on Facebook, so don't follow her. I've literally been dancing basically since I've come out of the womb.
Oh.
We have pictures showing.
So you're
this.
Abby Miller, like dance, like a dance mom's kind of kid. Like,
not quite to that extent. It's more so I've been like entertainment. You know, I love being the center of attention for those types of things.
Oh.
But literally, there's pictures and video of me, and I would take my dad's army T-shirt and tie it around my waist, and I would take my sister's little onesie things and put my arms through it, and then tie the legs around me, so I'd have my little dance outfit. I would run around in circles, and I'd stop like this, and I'd pose. oh, and I run around again. It was really funny. It got to the point.
Where did you learn to do that? Was it just something you saw?
No one told me to do this. I had my Bart Simpson hair because I love the Simpsons at the time. And
so you
I would
cut
literally,
your hair like Bart Simpson.
Oh, I had to have it styled that way. Okay. That was the thing. But I love flowy fabric. I had to dance around.
So you were like Bart and Milhouse when they were in drag.
Basically.
Sisters are doing it for themselves.
I've been singing, dancing. I play all the woodwinds. I've been
You
involved.
Play the recorder or like a pan flight pipe?
Pan flute's kind of weird, but pretty much all the woodwinds.
Flute? Like oboe? All
flute,
of it?
Clarinet. I've started on clarinet, and actually, if you can learn clarinet, the fingerings for most of the other instruments
Ooh,
are pretty much
about
the same.
This fingering.
Oh.
And blowing
I've been told
things,
that
right?
I'm a very good tonguer. Yeah. No, but seriously, any sort of entertainment, if I'm on stage, that's pretty much been the center of my life.
Oh, wow, that's great. And so what's the drag? So, like, right now you're dressed campy because you were in Camp Wanakiki, but would you describe your regular drag aesthetic as, like, a campy aesthetic? Because you also do pageants.
It's an interesting combination. when I started doing drag, it was more of, I was basically a Lady Gaga impersonator.
Oh,
so,
wow.
I mean, I only did Lady Gaga for probably the first 5 years that I started, and I was doing pageants at the time, so it was always very, you know, the clean cut. You have to have your hair a certain way. You have to have your makeup a certain way. And honestly, it kind of got boring because everybody did it that way. And it's just hard to stand out when you're doing those kinds of things. And every once in a while, I would do something silly on stage and people would just go nuts for it. So it's just kind of like, huh.
So do you feel like you're being pulled in two directions? Because there's this, like, there's the Camp Wanakiki side of you. There's the pageant queen side of you. And it's kind of like, you know, with who's going to win? Is the silly or the sophisticated?
Well, I like to think that at this point that I've been able to mix them
into an integral whole.
It works now for me. You know, I mean, I kind of go a little bit more over the top with my makeup. It's, you know, but it's still
It has a very Trixie Mattel, the cheekbones especially.
The Neapolitan coloring.
I forget who I got it from. I actually, even if you go back to my older pictures when I was doing, like, drag, I usually ended up having kind of a pretty harsh line when I was doing it.
It reads well on stage.
And that's exactly why I do it, because I have been doing a lot of theater stuff for most of my life. And normally when I was on stage, it's like, okay, somebody's, you know, 100, 200 feet away. And, you know, they're not going
to
see it.
Yeah.
So that I do this and the light hits me and people can see my eyes. They can see my expressions.
You're a pretty young, you're an ingenue.
Oh.
Yeah, if you look at puppets, Mexican puppets or German puppets, they paint the makeup very similar to the way you have. And I gotta say, you know, I got to see all the contestants up close, and your makeup is probably one of the strongest.
Well, thank you. I've been working hard on it.
You've been described online as the pretty one,
which is shocking to me. Normally,
you're not used to
no,
this.
No, I know. Normally, I'm the weird. I'm the, you know, the, like, oh my god, what is she doing? Why is she wearing hip pads? I'm not gonna lie. Being up in the middle of nowhere, we're kind of late to trends.
Sure. Okay. Sure.
So, well, now that you're the pretty one, you can take revenge on all the other drag queens who ever called you not pretty.
I have to say, it's very interesting being in a group of performers and not being the clown. No offense to people.
Well, it is
but
the queen of camp.
I don't know. But no, it's interesting.
So they invited you to be part of Camp Wanakiki.
Correct.
And so how did they sell you the idea to do this?
Well, basically, the last 2 years, I've taken off of, like, a regular day-to-day job. So I've been trying really hard to try and make drag into something for me and being a general entertainer. And I got a message. I forget which one of the twins did it. I'm terrible with trying to figure out who the hell they are.
So there's the pretty one and then there's the intelligent one. And what is it, Mark? How's the joke about the
Ashley's
white brothers?
The asshole, I think, is how they say it.
I don't want to tell that.
That's such a funny story.
I can never remember
There's
that.
There's an attractive one?
Well, I did. If you go back and listen to the story with the twin,
I did tell
the story on that, so you can go back and listen to that.
Funny fact, it's
probably one of the best burns ever delivered in my life.
Funny fact about that, though, the only time I can ever recognize who they are is when they are in drag, and it's because of their hair.
The beehive.
Because of the hair, the beehive, Brandon. But the annoying part was
actually the beehive is Applebaum Betty, and Cherry Pie is Brandon. Ashley is
Ashley is the beehive, right?
Yes.
I thought it was the other way around.
Nope. I will believe.
It's BBB.
An argument about it's this, expert. And that's what I said. He argued your point, and so I was actually right on that then, wasn't I?
Applebaum Betty is Ashley, and the way you could remember is Ashley is the party girl. He used to have a background in restaurant management.
And he's the one with the beehive.
And he used to go to the circuit parties. When he first moved to Chicago, he had abs and biceps.
Yeah, I remember those days.
He was in really good shape. Then Brandon is the chemical engineer. And that's why she uses the name Cherry Pie, because of math.
Okay, whatever.
Cherry Pie is the one that does not have the beehive.
And does not have the beehive. And then so in drag, Cherry Pie is the homelier one.
No, but what was really annoying is at camp, because this was the first time I met either one of them, I would only know who they were when they would have their wigs on, and we would get done filming a scene, and I'd want to say something to one of them or talk to one of them, and all of a sudden their wigs are off, and it's like, who am I talking to?
It still is confusing.
Well, the thing about it is if you're a little drunk, there are actually four of them.
Well, fun fact, as of today, or as of last week, I've actually 7 months sober. So.
Congratulations.
Look at the good you do.
And
you were saying just for health.
Oh gosh, yeah. It was just a personal choice,
right? You were saying, right?
Pretty much. It was just a personal choice. I was saying earlier, I really wanted to make this into a legitimate job for myself, and I feel like presenting myself to people, I need to be able to be in control of my faculties.
Do people go like, give you the concern, like when you're like, I don't drink alcohol, and they're like,
well, then I remind them that all the stupid shit that I do on stage, I'm sober for it. So.
But it's like, doesn't mean you don't, do other kinds of stuff.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Does it make you enjoy performing more now because you're like, I'm in control of what's happening? Because we've all seen a messy queen, you know?
Yeah. Now, it's been an interesting flip because I am enjoying myself more on stage because I'm more attentive. I know what I'm doing. But at the same time, interacting with people in the bar now, it's kind of like, oh, you're falling over and pulling on my hair, but I'll still talk to you type of thing.
Oh, because it's harder to deal with people with who are people. Messy.
Right.
Not that you're messy.
Oh, no.
You're not the one pulling the hair.
Do you know how to talk somebody out of a bar, though? Or are you practicing that? I mean, you're from Wisconsin. You must know, right?
I just get the security at the bar.
They kind of
keep an eye on us, and me being in bright pink all the time kind of makes
did they tell
easy.
You that all the Camp Wanakika girls had to live together, like in the same tent, barn?
We had
shelter, lean to.
Oh my gosh,
box.
No joke, we had very little idea what we were getting ourselves into.
Yeah.
Like, even for our, they've mentioned this somewhere, but we, even for like the different talent show looks that we had, we were given a very general, like, okay, you might want to bring a look that looks like this and three
you
signature looks.
You might want to look at the look.
Basically, I mean, and then when we got there, they started throwing the looks into different things. Like, we knew we had the two songs the week before, but we had no idea what looks we were doing in them or anything like that. So we didn't have a whole lot of information. So we just kind of winged it. And I think
so that kept you on your toes.
Oh, God, yeah.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Yeah.
You definitely had to pay attention to what was going on.
You got very close to Kevi. Say Kevi.
Yes, Kevi. I love her. She's a sweetheart.
And the girls came up with a nickname for her.
Oh my gosh, we love her so much. With the way that she did her makeup on the show, we kept joking around that she's our imaginary friend.
Looks like a ghost.
Well, not even so much that. No. It's just, it was more kind of, I was kind of thinking.
Clownish.
Kind of clownish.
Cartoony.
Cartoony type
of
thing.
Like something you would imagine.
Yeah.
Something looks like something.
Basically.
You know?
But I mean, we were coming up with different stories for all the different campers. Like she was the she was the imaginary friend. We had the weird drunk aunt. And
who was the weird drunk aunt?
Well, apparently from the first premiere, everybody unanimously voted me the diva.
The diva. Why would they call you that?
I don't know. If being prepared and on time and, you know, ready to go makes me a diva.
I don't like drag queens who are late. And I was like running late tonight, you know, and I was like, oh, God, I don't want to be one of those people. You know?
Not as late as the program.
I don't know what you're talking about. These things happen.
Technical difficulties. Would that be a drag queen name?
Technical.
I usually say testicular difficulties, but yeah.
How can you work the word she into testicular difficulties?
I don't know.
Testicular.
So there's eight queens.
Yes.
It's you.
Eight contestants.
Contestants, queens. Right. And so it's Kevi, the spooky one.
Say Kevi. We had Muffy, I believe, was the weird
arts
aunt.
And crafts.
Yeah,
aunt,
she was
weird
the,
aunt.
Yeah, she was, oh my God.
If, the hoarder.
Pretty much. Like, seriously.
Yeah. She has everything.
Glitter brows.
If you ever have a chance to look at any of Muffy's outfits, I mean, it's kind of a sensory overload at first, but there's a lot of thought that goes into these things. Like her dog park thing, each individual dog was doing something different on there.
They were fucking, they were licking each
other's
balls.
I think it was one eating a bird. There was one eating bubble gum, and there was a pink balloon coming out of its butt. It was like, she put a lot of freaking work into this thing, and I love her for that. It's kind of, like I said, it's a sensory overload. But.
Alexis Bevels is the Harry Potter arts and, you know,
Alexis
witch.
Is the,
she's a Wiccan.
She's the thinker.
She's the intellectual queen.
Yes, I love her. Because
she knows how to
read.
Very,
she's quiet. Yeah. But I think you even said it on the show, like, when she does something, she brings it. I mean, you have no idea what she's
very quiet and shy, and then all of a sudden you're like, have no idea that this person is capable of this extraordinary skill.
Right. Like, she, every single thing that she brought was just amazing. And it was interesting. I loved it. She's fun.
There's Pagan Holiday from San Antonio, Texas.
Pagan's another one that I just loved every time, because you'd see her. She has this poor stuffed animal on her head that she killed and decided to wear.
She won those at a state fair.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I guess.
But she's from San Antonio, Texas. And where's she living now?
I believe she's in Milwaukee.
Milwaukee.
Yes.
Okay.
So, but like, you'd see her in this look and you wouldn't expect like this, you know, I just loved every time she did that. It was so hilarious.
The JJ Snapfin Turtle.
Oh, my God.
From Madison.
She was actually the first out of any of the queens that I met on the show. Just because with how far I had to drive, Madison ended up being in the middle of the distance, so I just stayed at her house. And
oh, wow.
Like, if you ever, she's a brony, if you know what that is.
She's not a brony, she's a, there's a female word for it.
Okay.
Shoot. Can someone help us who's watching the show?
Anyway.
What's it called? So there's bronies are for the male identifying, and then there's, it's like lesbian horseback riding something,
God.
You know.
No, but like,
that's a long name.
But seriously, like, she, oh my God, I got to her house and literally there's a
Pegasister.
Room.
Pegasister.
Pegasister.
Yeah. Okay. There's literally a room probably the size of this little studio part here, just covered.
In My Little Pony,
some people say you're still a brony.
It's a brony.
Okay, yeah, so brony is the category.
Some girls say you can call me that, but other people are like, no, I'm a brony too.
Right. No, but like, she's amazing, even what she does. The way she brought her character the whole week, I'm surprised that she doesn't have back issues.
It's like a South Florida kind of, you know, vacationer.
I was if you've ever seen Girls Will Be Girls, yes. I was getting very Evie Harris out
Absolutely.
Of her. Oh my God. I was waiting for her to pop out the false eye and...
Are we missing somebody? I feel like we are.
Yes, we are. We Alaysia. Have Alaysia.
Alaysia Fempus.
Yes, Alaysia was another one of those.
She's the black one.
No, Alaysia was another one of those quiet ones where you weren't expecting some of the things that she would pull out. Like, it's kind of a dry humor, but I love dry humor. It's one of those things where, I get it. That's funny.
You know, Alaysia, you and Alaysia are some of the most, kind, selfless queens. Who was always checking in on other people and really like, but she, halfway through the series, she was just like, this is just, I'm over it all. It's like, you know, well, it was overwhelming for
oh my God,
the queens,
because
you guys were
everybody.
At the crack of dawn, getting up, doing all that stuff and going to bed. And it was just day after day after day day.
You have no idea. Literally, most of us were probably up by 5:30, 6 o'clock in the morning was the latest.
To be in drag.
To start getting ready in drag. Yeah. And then we would usually be done filming everything by midnight.
Cool. It's like, I did that one day. And I was like, well, I'm going to have to sleep with the makeup on. Otherwise, I'm going to pass out. You know, so I'm like... I'm trying not to smudge the makeup, and I fell asleep really deeply, and I woke up, and I was like, oh my god, my makeup is ruined, and I quickly went to the mirror, and it was like, it was pristine, and I'm like, I woke up like this. I can
say
that.
You want to say makeup 2 days in a row?
No, we were filming, mine was a little bit more generous. It was 10 a.m., the pie-making activity. And then the judging thing was around 10 p.m. So
you took a nap in drag.
I took a nap in drag, yeah, as the bear. And you know, because I have all this glitter and stuff, and I didn't want to wash it off and put it back on, you know?
Well, and with the way that the filming ended up going with it, because the first 2 days were raining, basically, like... we couldn't do anything for half the time. We had to sit and wait for it to stop for 20 minutes and run out quick. But because of that, the filming was just kind of all over the place. So even if we were already eliminated, we still had to get ready, basically, because there were little scenes that we had to film for everything. So...
And so now you had your run. They also had you... do all the looks that you didn't get to do. And so
that
we're going to get to
see
those.
So even if we were eliminated, we still, for the talent show, we still had to be in the outfits that we were wearing for the talent shows. So
people who may not be familiar, what got you eliminated? Because you're wearing a seashell dress.
Well, I don't think it was
pearls.
The outfit that, yeah.
It wasn't the outfit.
It was that
you were Little Miss Know-It-All, and you're like, I'm not going to do the challenge. And then they were like, not having it.
Well, let me just say this. That rope bridge or that wire bridge is no joke.
It's scary.
It was raining most of the time, so it was super slippery. Super slippery.
And you didn't want to fall into the mud.
Oh, yeah. No, we didn't. That wasn't mud. That was a river, a little creek right there.
And so if you would have fallen into that ground, you would have probably hurt yourself.
Probably, but whatever.
And they had no paramedics from
we signed a release.
I was the paramedic.
We signed a release. But no, I don't know if you've noticed it on the show, but I wore like inch-long stiletto nails the entire time I was on it.
Because
your nails
are pretty, like, they're nice and practical.
Yeah, right now they are. But no, on the show, I was wearing those stiletto nails, so I got, you know, I was doing all the stuff for the other things. Everyone got a huge laugh out of me shoving the bag into my purse, and then I got to the bridge, and it's like I couldn't hold on to the like actually close my fist. I had to hold my hands. So for people, if they say that I didn't try, that was hard as hell. The only way I could do that is because I've been playing instruments, so my fingers are strong.
Now, when you were being eliminated, and I saw, I was there in the room, and it was like, it was emotionally hard to even though, you know, the stakes are not that high because it is Camp Wanaki. You know, it's like,
I don't know about you.
We're not fighting for $100,000. We're only fighting for $5,000, right?
Cumulative, it's all together.
In merchandise, you know, in burgers. But you know what I'm saying? So it's like I said to the queens, I was like, listen, don't be that upset. This is a, you know, this is the beginning of a season. If this was Drag Race, maybe you'd be like, oh my god, my dreams are being crushed. But here it's like, this is just the beginning of something amazing.
But that you still take it the same way, that this is the beginning. You want to be the first.
She has that pageant eye of the tiger blood. She's like, the crown is mine.
So, yeah.
So it's probably good that they eliminated you early, because you're like, you know the pageant fight, you know?
Because
I got to tell you, you know, seeing some of the other queens, and I'm not going to say any names, but, you know, seeing them being eliminated and seeing the tears and the emotions in their face, and I was like, girl, you know, it's like they have an elimination show. Everybody's going to get eliminated except for one or two, right? At the
end. The thing with that, though, too, a big part of it was the fact that we got so close to each other. I mean, you have to realize we were literally living basically in a little box for a week with each other. We did everything together. We ate all of our meals together. We basically showered together because we all were on the same schedule.
Did you guys, like, fall in love or have any...
No,
something
like that.
Sexual happen.
Ew, we're all Barbie
dolls.
There
was a farmhand that snuck onto the set.
Was there?
Yeah, there was a guy from, like, he was like, I'm from across the street, and I'm not queer, but I like what you people are doing.
You know? I must have missed that part.
He was driving people around. He had a beard, and everybody was, like, kind of hot for him.
Oh, no.
What was his name?
He was the camp hand.
Yes, but he was just, like, kind of hanging out.
He was paid to be there.
Okay.
He's the actual person that works at the camp.
Yes, he was the go-to person.
He was actually, like, basically the camp counselor, but not on screen.
Not on screen.
Yeah.
So helping you guys, like, if you needed to open something up. But
he was an attractive guy.
And everybody was like, is he gay? I'm not sure if he's gay. I don't know. And he said to me, like, my boyfriend and I. And I was kind of like, did I hear that right?
You know? I don't know if he was just lying.
Put him on blast, girl.
I don't know what was going on. And I was just like...
He was an absolute sweetheart, though, all week, dealing with all these cranky queens. And
you guys were very well-behaved and very generous with your time.
Yeah.
I think most people, you know, the big thing was Ashley and Brandon fighting with each other.
Oh, my God. I don't want to be mean or anything, but, yeah, it was kind of cute. Like, we would have to spend an extra half an hour while they debated things.
And it's like, to me, it's like I always say, like, when you work with somebody who's very close to you, you're sort of like Mark and I, when we're fighting with each other, we're really fighting with ourselves.
Pretty much.
And they actually illustrate that because they're literally a clone of each other. You know?
Well, the funny part is it was never really about anything that was, you know, super bad. It was usually things about, like, well, I was the one that came up with this idea.
Yeah.
It was silly things like that.
Oh, like just, getting credit for stuff?
Well, not necessarily just that, but that kind of thing where it's not, you know, it's not super important.
It's stuff only twins would fight about.
Pretty much, yeah.
No, mother liked you better.
Oh, gosh. No, but
this is why I get to wear the nice dresses. It's like, you sabotage that dress. You make me look fat in that dress. No, you didn't. No, they weren't like petty fighting. It was technical stuff and the plot of the show and stuff.
Yeah, it was kind of written as we went, I feel like.
Is there a challenge? You know, I we can't really talk about too much because, you know, it's still airing.
Hush, hush, yeah.
But do you feel like there was some challenges that you would have liked to have been in that you didn't get to participate in, or were you kind of relieved? You were like, oh, they're going to be, you know, mud wrestling? Great.
Well, I mean, the challenges themselves were fine. I mean, honestly, I hate nature. I really... No,
but you're from Wisconsin.
Don't get me wrong. I appreciate nature, and I love learning about it. The problem is, though, is that I'm allergic to, like, every single bug and thing out there. I have terrible allergies. I've literally gotten, like, severe second, almost third degree burns just being in the sun. I am terrified of water. I've had horrible experiences in the water where the boat was basically sank and we had to swim
to
shore.
You almost drowned?
Wow.
Not, I mean, it felt like that because we were so young when that happened, but I mean...
What kind of boat was that? Was it like a speedboat or
just
like a rowboat?
No, it wasn't like a rowboat. It was just like a little family boat.
Did you challenge like your inner like Shelley Winters and like decide to adventure? I'm going to swim.
You can do a Shirley Winters number,
And I followed from heights too, and so I'm terrified of heights and everything. So keep in mind, I've stayed in character this entire time.
Yeah.
I didn't let any of that come out, and I feel like that kind of hurt me.
Oh, you felt that it hurt you not showing your fear,
not showing my true self. I stayed in character the whole time because I thought that that's what we were supposed to do.
So having watched, you know, we've all grown up watching Drag Race. And, you know, and you're like, I could do that, and, you know, and actually you're there in the thick of it all. Like, was there like, you're like, maybe I was a little too harsh on these girls, you know?
Actually, the general consensus was the opposite.
They have it too easy.
I'd like to see them in the woods for 16 plus hour days trying to keep themselves in, you know, together.
Yeah, they're all usually complaining about, like, Chipotle put guacamole in my burrito.
Stay in hotels. Yeah. We were in the woods. Everybody was getting sick because there was, like, no heating. We had space heaters that we had to share, basically.
And bugs.
And
stuff like that.
Oh, my God. Yeah. I completely forgot to bring an EpiPen. Like, literally, I'm that allergic to these bugs.
So did you almost have, like, an anaphylactic
shock?
Yeah.
No. I assume that they had something in their emergency kits, so.
Girl's like 20 minutes later.
Well, and actually that's.
you're like, yay.
The funny thing though is that.
Like, oh, I found it.
The funny thing, though, is that with my character having my fan out, because I was actually using the fan to try and keep the bugs away from my face, it was worked with my character anyway. So
the pinkening,
yes,
is a hashtag, or you very dedicated to that.
Yes.
And it, Mark, you say it was like a combination of a horror film.
Well, like The Conjuring.
The Conjuring.
Yeah.
Like it's just
pink,
like,
and
it's
The
like
Conjuring.
This pink that's just going to take over everything.
So it's like a disease. It's a,
well, I wouldn't say it's a disease, but
it's a condition.
I kind of joke around with people that I'm going to start like a cult or something, and it's going to be the pinkening, kind of like the apocalypse type thing.
So if you had a cult, what would you do with the cult?
I haven't gotten that far, but I know that.
I just want people to do what I tell them.
Pretty much. I mean,
I just want to boss people around.
Yeah, I act like a princess, but, you know.
Well, a princess is very passive, you know. Because a princess is like, ma'am, would you like, it's time for you to eat breakfast. Ma'am, mm-hmm. it's time to put on your clothes on. Ma'am, it's time to have sex with the king.
Fine, I guess I'm more of a queen than any of that, but yeah.
So you want to tell people what to do. You want to, mm-hmm. you rule with a loving but iron fist.
Yes, I would direct what happens, but I won't have to directly say what happens to them.
And that was given to you by your pageant sisters.
By what?
The pinkening. It was
the pinkening.
That you didn't come up with that.
It just came up in a conversation when I had started. Because this has probably been about 3 years now that I've been doing straight pink. And it just came up as a joke, like, oh, we were trying to figure out random little things. I think we were trying to think of something, but it did just, the pinkening came out, and I just latched onto it. I loved it, so.
You're like, well, I'm going to come up with a new hashtag. The greenery. Or the bluery.
The green.
Purplery.
Oh, I love it.
You said that you have an aversion to glitter.
Oh, gosh,
so does this make you a little nervous? My beard.
You don't like glitter? You don't like cleaning up glitter.
Well, glitter's okay. No, my big thing is like with, like I was kind of telling you earlier, it has to do with more so with makeup. Glitter, anything shiny, like shimmering, any of that, I just feel like it hits the light. And if you don't put it in exactly the right spot, you're going to completely pull the focus on your face wrong. So I usually try and do everything matte.
So glitter is tricky.
It's tricky, and that's why I don't like it. It's too much work.
And when you get photographed with glitter on your face, it just looks like there's crap on your face.
Pretty
it doesn't
much.
Look sparkly and magic. Like video, you're like, wow, this is, you know, you're a goddess from another dimension. But in a photograph, you're just like, did she just roll out of bed or fell into a pile of dirt?
And that's what I love, though, is like people will kind of joke about my makeup when I'm just walking around and stuff. But when people take pictures, the light hits my cheeks, the light hits my forehead. I have, you know, that natural.
Oh, honey, you look fantastic in photos.
I love pictures. Yeah. Pictures are fun.
You were born to be photographed.
Yeah. Pretty much.
And if you guys like us, you can watch this. I don't know if you're listening to the podcast. We're actually putting this as a video. It won't be up like right away, but you know.
Yeah.
Sooner or later. So where are you going after? So you've been eliminated.
Yes.
You didn't burn the barn down, which is very generous of you.
Yeah, well, I forgot my matches. See, we were playing by old school pageant rules, it would have been a little different.
So where are you going from this? Like, what's the next? I mean, now obviously you're auditioning for other projects, but you know, and we're waiting for our, you know, for you to send in your tape for Cooking with Drag Queens.
We still haven't gotten it. Well, I'm taking as much advantage of this opportunity as I can. Mm-hmm. I think in the last month since the show has come out, I performed in at least 5 or 6 new venues for myself. Like I'm trying to put myself out there as much as I can. And
that's great.
Because again, you know, my main goal is to make this into a business. This is what I want to do professionally. Mm. So I'm just trying to get out there. So.
Oh, that kind of business.
Well, it's great, and that's why you have to do projects like this, because it gets you out there.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, I'm hoping it becomes something big, but it may just be, I've literally prepared speeches for, you know, oh my God, have you seen this amazing show that I've been on? And oh my God, have you seen the stupid shit that I did at this one time during the summer? Like, I have these speeches in my head where I can try and make it work either way.
I want to hear the speech right now.
No. Like, the show's not over, and I'm contracted.
Oh, so you're gonna say something? Your story is gonna change once the series ends,
right? I mean, if it's a
you're like, oh, fucking ass.
No, meaning like if it ends up being a flop or if it ends up being really good. I have two different ways I can sell it to my advantage.
So what would you say if it becomes a flop?
Well, if it's a flop, I mean, the funny thing about even if it is a flop is this is campy.
Yes.
I mean, some of
Drag
my favorite...
Drag is built on failure.
Exactly. My favorite films are like the stupid, you know, cheesy graphics. I love the old school horror movies where it's like, oh, this is obviously, you know, a styrofoam head on a stick or something. But I love that kind of stuff. And I feel like even if this is like a flop or something, if we market it correctly, we can still make it into...
Well, I think that's ultimately the strength and redeeming quality of drag.
Yep.
In essence, mm-hmm. you know, we forget that Drag Race started as a parody of America's Next Top Model and has more in common with America's Next Top Model than it actually has with drag in some ways. And drag is dirty. Drag is messy. Drag
is anything you want it to be, really.
Well, but, you know, it's a very visceral form of performance that is tied to people who are in the margins of society.
Right, right.
Right? It's not, you know, so this idea that this modern idea that young people have, which is like, I'm going to become a six-figure millionaire drag queen. And it's like, and you know, there are some millionaire drag queens, and it's weird to see that.
But it's rare and few in between. I mean, yeah, definitely more so now that it's more mainstream. It's becoming a bigger thing, but yeah, it's not something that happens very often. So,
well, in my opinion, you've already won our hearts.
Aww.
And here's if you're watching this on YouTube, it's our hearts in this little casket, just like the evil queen.
Oh my gosh, I love it.
So we're gonna open up the casket and find out what's inside.
I'm scared.
Dominique, how did you come up with your name?
Oh, my
Dominique
name?
DeGrant.
Oh, actually, that pretty simple story. Dominique is actually just the feminine version of my legal name.
Oh.
And then my last name.
Domingo?
No, Dominic.
Oh. Domingo.
No.
People have been calling you Dominique for a long time.
Well, a lot of people sometimes have issues saying Dominic or Dominique, so they just say Dom. Because they end up, for some reason, they flip the M and the N in there. I don't know why. But my last name is actually a combination of my two drag mothers' names. We have the...
Duh and Grant? Or what?
Duh.
Yeah, literally. I was kind of saying this earlier when you brought up Lady Miss Keir.
Gorgeous.
Yeah, well, her name is Miss D. Lovely.
Oh.
Yeah, the lovely, the gorgeous.
Plus three E's, though, not two. Or one.
Right, no, and that's... I changed it up for myself. For, like, maybe a month, I did actually have two or three E's in there, but it just looked weird.
Delight!
Pretty
How
much,
do you say
yes.
delicious? How do you say DeGrant?
Pretty much, yeah. No, but yeah, no, she... I got that part from her, Miss D. Lovely, and then my other drag mom at the time was Victoria Grant.
That sounds like a real pageant queen.
Right, and then they were...
Victoria Grant has won all Miss Continentals since 1976 to 1989, and you will address her with respect and kindness, whore.
And the funny thing, though, is that I ended up becoming like a mix of their personalities, because Victoria Grant is... Yes. She is very much like the, you know, the high society type of, you know, oh, I'm so fancy. And then Miss D. Lovely she's like the stage... You know, you never know what she's going to be doing. She's the personality on stage that you want to see, basically.
She's a player.
Pretty much.
She's like a girl who likes to have some fun. Well, we have a box of magic. This is a new thing. I just came up with it. Mark, why do you have a treasure chest on the table? There's a story behind this.
Is there?
Well, that treasure chest I got when they closed the Gay Men's Bathhouse here in Andersonville. That was a...
Oh my God.
They had a rummage sale, and they had a bunch of stuff, and they're like, I looked at that one, like, take it. Just take it. There's another one that matches it. Just take it. I'll give it to you for like $3. I'm like, so Chuck Renslow, who is the founder of the International Mr. Leather, and he just, he passed away last year. I guess at one point in time, he and his partner Ron owned an occult bookstore.
Okay.
And so, of course, what else do you sell at occult bookstores but little chests?
Little freaky chests. Satanic shit.
And
you
so
know,
I got
where
that.
Where you can put your pot in it. Or
I like it because you can put like electronic equipment in them.
Oh.
Like little flash drives.
It actually makes me think of my gaming days.
Mm-hmm. But we haven't opened this at all. There might be a severed finger in here.
Oh, no.
There could be a credit card. There could be money.
I doubtful.
So we're gonna there could be a red dice in there. A red die.
Why don't we open up and see?
What's in there?
It's a red magical die. Red dice. And
nothing.
Nothing. There's a red dice.
There is a die in there? See?
Yeah. And so the red die is a symbol that your life has not been set. It's still up to chance what that could happen.
All right. Mm-hmm. Did you just pull that out of your ass, or was that planned?
I actually was thinking about it. I was like, what a beautiful little metaphor.
Well, so one of those things. We started taping. It's always like, you know, we've talked to a lot of people who've been on reality TV
right.
shows. I myself have been on a reality TV show, which is actually, you know, premiering today.
Yeah.
In Norway. You know, the thing is, it's like, it's this doesn't define who you are as a person. It's mm-hmm. just, it's one thing that you've done. You just go on and you keep doing more fabulous things. You know, we've seen a lot of people that get on like Drag Race and they just focus on the fact that they were like first gone, and you know, it ruins, it's not positive. It's only one thing.
Right. And even coming into this competition, it would have been great to win, but my main goal, like I've kind of been saying here, is that I wanted the exposure. I want to make this into a business, and I want to kind of use this as a vehicle to kind of get my name out there.
And so you would be the CEO of your business?
Well,
I own 51% of this company.
Pretty
Don't
much.
Fuck with me, fellas.
Well, at this point, I think if my contract's correct, I own like 80% of myself. So oh. I'm kidding.
I think
I don't know.
A while, like we know some drag queens who didn't own their name.
Pretty much.
They sold their name for a temporary time period.
Yeah. But then bought it back.
And then bought it back hastily.
At a discount.
Oh, gosh. No, it's not that bad, but yeah.
Well, Dominique, I want to wish you the best of luck.
Thank you.
And I hope you had fun at Camp Wanakiki. I hope you had fun here on Feast of Fun.
Thank you.
Where can people follow you?
You can find me on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. I'm sometimes twat around, but, you know.
All the graphics popping up on the screen.
Right.
Oh, who are you kidding? You're not going to put that in there.
Actually, I forgot, but you can figure it out.
Yeah. So, the fun
Dominique
fact,
DeGrant, hashtag The Pinkening, right?
And actually, all of my handles on all my social media is The Pinkening.
And it's not because you use pinking shears.
No, and that's another thing that comes to my mind.
I'm colorblind, so I don't know what color you're wearing. I'm not colorblind.
Oh, gosh, I hope not.
Because I actually discriminate a lot. No, I'm just kidding.
No. But no, if you want to find me on any of the general social medias people use, I am The Pinkening.
I want to remind folks that we can't do this podcast without your support. So if you're not a Plus member yet, sign up today at feastoffun.com/plus.
Because without your financial support, we couldn't do this. We also have fabulous t-shirts for sale. We can explore the possibilities. And lots of other cool stuff inspired by great moments of drag at feastoffun.com/store. And we're just days away from launching our Patreon.
Ooh.
Where you can see behind the scenes photos. Where the hell are you going? Mark's just walking off.
Oh, there it is.
Oh, over here. Yes. Well, sit, scoot on down.
Nice. And I actually have my own merch out right now, too.
Well, let me talk about my merch, and then you can talk about your merch. But anyways, Patreon. So behind-the-scenes photos and videos. I did take pictures of their underwear and weird shit at the camp. And
why were people doing these things with my stuff?
Because I'm a bear, and I rummage through shit.
We have you with my underwear. We have Sylvia Nix with my...
What did she do?
What'd she do?
Didn't you see in the first episode?
No, remind us.
At the end of the first episode, she pulled out my toothbrush.
Oh, yeah, and she shoved up her ass.
Uh-huh, basically.
So your breath was a little
shitty. Everybody just wants to do stuff to me.
Oh, honey. It's because
you're
a sweet little girl.
Aw.
Now, Dominique DeGrant also has merchandise as well.
Yes, I do. Actually, if you go to DominiqueDeGrant.com, I keep my event calendar up to date with everywhere that I'm going to be. And I do actually have a link to my merch site. So
and so you're very wise in keeping the email addresses of the people who spend money on you, because some drag queens don't do that.
Yeah.
That's the money, honey.
Pretty much.
That's
yes.
the value. Oh. Yes.
And Dominique,
I want to thank you so much for coming and having some fun. Now please take this bear costume.
So oh my God.
I can't believe you're still wearing that thing.
I'm just gonna take my clothes off right now on YouTube.
Bra too?
Yeah, take this off. Look at this. It's crazy.
Take it all off.
Okay.
Oh. It feels so good to just be naked.
Oh my God, you're just so sweaty.
Oh. Now this video just turned into something else. Put it on.
What did I get myself into?
Put it on. What is that? Pornhub.
X-Tube.
What do you have your tits made out of?
They're made out of polyfill.
Oh.
Mine are cotton.
Mine smell good, right?
Do they smell like cotton candy?
Spray some of that perfume on this stuff.
Do some muscle flexing, Fausto.
Nice.
Yes,
girl. Christ on a cracker.
Thanks for listening, guys.
Dominique, it was so nice to make you uncomfortable for an hour. I really appreciate it.
Well, thank you for having me.
Thank you for being such a good friend.
Thank you.
And I really got to know you and to spend some time with you. In the middle of fucking nowhere.
Pretty much. Oh, my God.
Bye, everyone.
Bye-bye.